If you would, turn to the wonderful Gospel of John. We're going to be in chapter 11 this morning. We're going to have a short series, maybe two or three lessons, on the raising of Lazarus. The raising of Lazarus. Chapter 11 of the book of John. Now, in this lesson, we are reminded by the actions of Jesus Christ that God's glory overshadows all that we are and all that we do. This is a lesson that we need to learn in Scripture, for we are but clay formed by the Master's hands, and by the Master decided as to what happens to that clay. And in this passage, Jesus Christ is concerned about God's glory. We will see two women who are deeply involved in their brother's fatal illness. Two women who witnessed the death of their brother. Two women who expected Jesus Christ to come to their aid, but were completely disappointed, having then to attend to the wrapping of their brother in grave clothes and seeing to his burial in the tomb apart from the presence of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, our all-powerful Lord, our miracle-working Savior, allowed this to happen. Allowed these women such grief and despair, all to ensure that God his Father would receive glory. Now, we need to get our priorities straight. It's not all about us. My, that's what the mantra of this world is. It's all about us. It's not all about us. It's all about God. To God be the glory, great things he hath done, is the message that is proclaimed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's read the first 10 verses of the 11th chapter of the book of John. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wrapped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the what? The glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So Jesus takes it and shows the priority of things here. It's not all about Lazarus. It's not about Mary. It's not about Martha. It's about God's glory. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He wasn't moved to rush to Bethany because he was moved to glorify the Father. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples looked at him with surprise and, what's going on? We just left Jerusalem where they threatened to stone you. Now you want to go back? Well, in the disciples' minds, they were concerned about their safety, but Jesus was concerned about God's glory. So they said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? How'd you like that word to say, thither? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? Don't we have work to do? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. In other words, it's daylight. We're about the Father's business. We've got work to do. Is there not 12 hours in the day? Now, at the time of this event, Jesus has returned to the place where John the Baptist baptized him 3 years prior, the Jordan River. So he's on the east side of the Jordan River, having left Jerusalem after his confrontations with the Pharisees and the scribes. We studied that when we talked about Jesus Christ as the light of the world, where they accused him of being of the devil. Oh, how blind people are about Jesus Christ. So this passage describes the seventh miracle that John includes in his gospel. Now, the first one concerns the happiest event of life, the wedding at Cana. You know, weddings are such a happy occasion, aren't they? Father is wonderfully glad that his daughter has a wonderful mate to take her away from his home. Because that's the way it ought to be. Weddings are happy events, and that first miracle took place at Cana, and the last one concerns the saddest event in life, a funeral at Bethany. The first one a wedding, the last one a funeral. Kind of descriptive of life, isn't it not? Oh, we go through happy times, we go through sad times, but that's life. Now, Bethany was a small village located on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles southeast of Jerusalem. Very close. You know, everything in Israel is close. It's a small nation. Israel is about the size of the panhandle from Panama City to the border to the west. That's about the size of Israel. Everything in Israel is close, so Bethany was close to Jerusalem. It was the final stop before entering Jerusalem while traveling the main east-west road, the high road coming from Jericho. Now, besides the raising of Lazarus that took place at Bethany, Mary gave Jesus his burial anointment at the home of Simon the leper. That was another thing that occurred in Bethany. And Bethany was the location for Jesus Christ's final blessing to his disciples and his ascension to heaven, as Luke records. So Bethany is a prominent place. It's a place of friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a place that is naturally visited as entrance into Jerusalem takes place. So John gives us a point of reference to Lazarus by mentioning an event in the life of Christ that Christ told him to remember as a memorial of Mary. Oh, I read that, what Mary did for the Lord and how he recognized such a rare event just took place, such a rare event of devotion. Are we devoted to the cause of Christ? Are we devoted to Christ? Mary was devoted. And Matthew records in chapter 26, verse 13, we're looking forward to the pastor expounding on this passage. Christ's command concerning this rare and very dear time of Mary's devotion. Verily I say unto you, the Lord Jesus Christ said, oh, his heart was so warm. Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. You know, the Christian faith lifts up the woman. The Christian faith lifts up the woman. Oh, how women, how unique you are in God's plan. How important you are in God's plan. Don't let the world take that away from you and put you in men's clothes, in men's ways, in men's habits. Men aren't like women. Men were never made to be women. Women were never made to be men. But the devil takes women and says, you're not as good as men. You need to be as good as men. So do the things that men do. Well, you just go lower and lower and lower. Oh, God loves women. Elevates women in the Christian faith. Now, Lazarus, which is an abbreviation of Eleazar, meaning God has helped. Oh, I love those old names of the scriptures. You know, we name names now. We name names of our children because they sound well. They name names because they were pointing to God. But he's a brother of that Mary that anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus. John says, you will know whom I mean if I tell you that he was the brother of that Mary who anointed the Lord. So that's how they always describe this woman. They think about what she did for the Lord in that time of anointing for his burial. Oh, how moved he was. He was so moved that today, 2,000 years later, we preach about this woman who was so devoted to the cause of Christ and to the Christ. She spent much time at his feet. She was one of six women named Mary in the New Testament. And so this unique identification is helpful. Of several Marys, you have to really study the Word of God to find out which Mary is being talked about. But this Mary is the one who anointed the feet of Christ. So the Lord mentions this, and he commands this to be told of her throughout the whole world and put it in the gospel. And preachers are responsible for bringing this up. Isn't that wonderful of the Lord? Now, one writer says that one act, virtuous or vicious, may render a person noted through all ages. Who do you think about in the world? You think about the vicious ones and you think about the virtuous ones. The ones in the middle, the big middle class, well, we're all forgotten. You know, you may labor in this ministry, pastor, for 30, 40 years, and 20 years later, they say, who was that? That's what happens. I'm sorry. We're soon forgotten. But this woman is not soon forgotten because of her devotion to the Lord. And God remembers Mary by her act of love and commands us to remember her. You know, I'm so glad that God remembers us. For there may even come a day when we are unable to remember. You know, I'm kind of getting there. My wife says, well, you know, remember we went camping at Thanksgiving. Let's see now, camping at Thanksgiving. Oh, that's a long time ago. That's 2.5 months ago. No, it's not. It's 1.5 months ago. Oh, yeah, I remember that. What's happening here? But the Lord remembers. It is God who remembers the gold. It is God who remembers the silver. It is God that remembers the precious stones in our life. I'm so happy that he does. Our memories may grow dim, but God's memory does not. I'm so thankful that our rewards do not depend on us reciting the gold and silver and precious jewels of our lives before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, wouldn't it be terrible if you had to recite all those? But the Lord remembers. But Lazarus was sick. He was weak unto death. This was a serious illness, and his sisters knew it. It was not just a little cold or a little illness that they wouldn't even bother the Lord with, but this was a serious illness, and I wonder if they prayed for Jesus to heal him from afar. Don't you suppose they did? Don't you suppose that they wondered why Jesus did not come without them asking? Jesus knows all things. Why isn't he here? Why was he delaying? And therefore, in verse 3, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. What a phrase that is. That word sick implies deathly sick. It implies that Lazarus was sinking. They therefore send the messenger 25 miles to tell Jesus Christ of their concern. Now, 25 miles, that's over into Pensacola. We'd say, well, that's nothing. We'll just email and text. Well, that wasn't the case. 25 miles was a day's trip. So they sent the messenger to tell Jesus Christ of their concern. For Jesus Christ was a friend, and what a friend they had in Jesus. What comfort to them to know that Jesus Christ cared about their brother. As a poet once said, oh, tell thy woes to those beloved, for sorrows shared are half removed. You know, that's one of the beauties of having a church body. Don't be afraid to tell your sorrows to others, for it gives them an opportunity to be a comfort and a help. Don't be so inward that you try to solve all your problems by yourself. We're here to help each other. They remind him of his love for their brother. They do not seek his help because of Lazarus' love, but because of Jesus' love for Lazarus. You know, I'm glad that God doesn't help only according to our love for him. He helps because of his love to us. And they say, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Oh, what a prayer that is. What a prayer that is, that when we pray for the aid of another, we bring that before the Lord and remind the Lord that he loves them and cares for them. So they were appealing to the heart of Jesus Christ, the one in whom they had full confidence. And they simply tell of their concern. And it's interesting to see that they do not tell him how to solve the problem. My, how we do that in prayers, don't we, in our praying? Lord, this is how I want you to solve the problem. I want this result, and I'm going to help you figure it out. You solve it by following the 5 steps that I have outlined here, and then the result will come. That's how sometimes we pray. But they didn't do that. They make no request, but simply remind him of his love for their dying brother, and they leave the rest to him. They knew Jesus would never forsake them. So this passage, and it is a lesson in prayer, it teaches us that we ought not to prescribe the answer to prayer to God. God will answer in many ways. We ought not limit the Lord to answer prayer in only our way. He always has a better way. We should simply make the need known and wait on the Lord with respect to his good time and his good method, whatever it may be. Do you pray that way? That is in the word trust, is it not? Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. So had they asked for healing, and healing was granted, the glory of God in resurrection power would not have been revealed in the raising of their brother. You understand that? Oh, if the Lord Jesus Christ would have healed Lazarus from afar, the glory of God in the resurrection would not have taken place. So this passage tells us that God sometimes denies us a small favor that he may show us a greater favor. Don't you want God's greater favor? Put up with being denied a small favor. So verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." Boy, when they heard that and they see Lazarus dying, what's going on here? Well, you better be careful on how quick you come to a conclusion when it comes to the Lord. But he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So Jesus already knows about Lazarus. Before the messenger comes, he knows that Lazarus is sick. He knows what is to take place. He knows what he's going to do. He needs no messenger. He knows what will take place while the sisters of Lazarus pray for their brother. He says that the sickness is not unto death, and yet to the sisters who received by return message this hope, what did they think when Lazarus died? How confusing that was. But remember what Jesus said to Peter in John 13:7. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Trust. That takes trust. We are not equipped to judge the love of Christ to us by outward happenings. You know, a lot of things might go on in your life, and you question the love of God. Why is this happening to me? How could God love me and allow this to take place in my life? You can't question God. Does the clay ask the potter, "Why did you make me thus?" We can't judge by outward happenings, by the things that we may go through. The bottom line is simply trust Him, only trust Him. That's what faith is all about. God knows the end from the beginning. As in Isaiah 46:9-10 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." Don't put God in your body. Don't think God is like you. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all what? My pleasures." That's what it's all about. God's in charge. We are but clay. So there is a definite reason for the sickness that Lazarus is suffering, Jesus says. It is for the glory of God that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Oh, how we need to get this into our hearts and minds. It's all about God's glory. It is to further the honor of God. It is to further the glory of Christ. Sick or well, alive or dead, the believer is to glorify God. Someone has said, "We should not too bitterly mourn the death of those whom Jesus loves." There are people that bitterly mourn deaths of those that Jesus loves. And we ought not to be. It ought not to be. For to me to live is what? Christ. To die is what? Gain. Do you believe that? And blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, we look at the saint lying in the casket and how we mourn. But God says, blessed. He's coming home to my house. We are to believe that our faith will sustain us when death comes our way. As Romans 14:8 says, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Who's paramount here in that phrase? The Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, what? We are the Lord's. So that's the bottom line here. Whatever we go through, whether it be life or it be death, we continue in the same relationship with the Lord. We are the Lord's. You know, you pass from one door to the next, do you not? Oh, how we hate to face that door. But you know, there's glory on the other side of the door. You open that door and the rays of sunshine hit your face. The glories of heaven hit your face if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're born again. A wonderful thing, we are the Lord's. Verse 5 and 6. Now Jesus loved Martha. Remember how he rebuked Martha? Why cumberest thee about with so many things, Martha? Why are you worried about all these things? She has chosen the better thing. Again, a priority, a list of priorities for our lives. But Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, did he rush there? Oh, I've got to rush. I've got to tend to my friends. No, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Wonderful to see your name in the scriptures, and before that name, the words Jesus loved. You know, I've come to the conclusion that Jesus loves me. When my children were little, I made little plaques for them. I said, Jesus loves Jennifer. Jesus loves Eric. And Jesus loves Kristen. And Jesus loves Grace. And I go to their homes and they still have those plaques on the wall reminding them of Jesus' love. But Jesus loved Martha. And Jesus loved Mary. And Jesus loved Lazarus. But you know, Martha was not put into the tomb. Mary was not put into the tomb, but Lazarus was placed into the tomb. Now, did Jesus love Lazarus less? No. It says that he loved Lazarus as he loved Martha and Mary. We are told that this whole experience was allowed to happen. Why? For the glory of God. That thereby the Son of God might be glorified. In order for this glorification to take place, Jesus abode 2 days in the same place where he received the messenger from Martha and Mary. He waited 2 days for things to occur. What occurred? Well, Lazarus's heart stopped. Lazarus was wrapped in grave clothes. He allowed Lazarus to die in the flesh. While Mary and Martha mourned, and they wrapped their brother in those grave clothes, they placed his body in the tomb. Tears were shed. They mourned probably in the manner of the East, where there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. To Mary and Martha, Lazarus was dead, but to Christ, Lazarus was awaiting resurrection and life. Now think about the different perspective we have from God's perspective. Think about that. Plant that in your heart. When you face things like this, think about God's perspective. That's what's important, don't you suppose? Don't you think that's what's important? Not our mourning, not our wailing, not our gnashing of teeth. We say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a question to ask the Lord Jesus Christ. What a question to ask God, who's making a place for us in heaven. But John assures us that through all of these seemingly tragic events, Jesus loved Martha, Jesus loved Mary, and Jesus loves Lazarus. Now I'm reminding all of us here that regardless of what tragic event you go through, and you will, you'll face a time perhaps when you may lose a child. You may lose your mate. You may lose someone you love dearly, and it will be a tragedy. But remember that if you're God's son, if you're God's daughter, you know that God loves you. So the principle here is what Jesus told Peter, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." We may not know why God does what he does, but we do know that he loves his children. Whatever is going to happen to you, whatever is going to happen to me, whatever is going to happen to your loved ones, you can be assured that Jesus loves you. And he's conforming you to himself. So verse 7 and 8. Then after that saith he to his disciples, "Let us go unto Judea again." Oh, they were looking for some relief. They thought they had left that horrible place. They thought they had left all of those horrible people that accused their master of being from Satan. "We thought we're going up to Galilee, the safe place." They had safe place ideas too, you know. "We don't want all this horrible persecution." So his disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" You know, if someone wants to stone you, you kind of think about avoiding them, don't you? I just don't want to be around people that want to stone me. It just doesn't make me happy. And that was the disciples' hearts. But the disciple didn't have the glory of God in mind here. They had the protection of their flesh. Oh, how natural that is to protect your flesh, to think about your body, to think about your protection instead of the glory of God. But the time is right. You know, God's timing is always right. He's never in a hurry, and he's always on time. When God acts, things start happening. The Father's will is known by Jesus Christ. 2 days have passed, and Christ knows that it is the Father's will that he and his disciples leave and go to Judea again. This was important. This was what is important to Jesus Christ, not the stones that his face would receive or his body would receive. He is willing because it is God's will to go to the place of danger and confrontation that is uppermost in his disciples' minds. For them also it is a time of testing and trial. You know, God puts us through testing and trial. Don't try to avoid God's testing and trial. Don't run away from God's testing and trial. For the trial of your faith is what? More precious than gold. Well, we'll stop there. Continue on next week, the Lord willing. You never know what takes place this week, do you, Paul? But we're ready for it because we are the Lord's, and He'll never forsake us nor leave us. Father, we are thankful that You give us such accounts that put our feet on solid ground. Lord, we're so concerned about ourselves, and we see here that Jesus Christ was concerned about the glory of the Father. He was concerned about Mary. He was concerned about Martha. He was concerned about Lazarus, who He raised from the dead. We're thankful, Father, for this account. Help us, Lord, to have the priorities of Scripture in our lives, that the glory of God would be paramount. For we ask it in His name. Amen.